Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Every time Minnesota just sort of chips away, Oklahoma City scores. You got to give the Thunder credit. Every time, like, they cut it to three or four, they score. And it's a big part of the game. There's only like 140 left right now. Minnesota need a basket bad. They get the basket. They don't get the call under the basket. And they cut the lead back to four right now. We're getting three in this game. They need to stop with a score. And then maybe we got a puncher's chance here of covering the number. So big-time drama here. Oklahoma City bouncing back in a big-time way. This is what they did. And they hit the three. Again, son of a. Williams with the three. Man, every time they get close, 120, now they're down by seven again. They cut it to four, and then they hit the three. Like, it just, Oklahoma City are not stopping tonight. Minnesota responds with the deuce right now. They need a freaking stop, man. Like, so we're down to like a minute left in this game right now, and we got a five-point game, 123 to 118. Game sails over the number. The 219. It's been a high-scoring series. We'll get into the Knicks a little bit later. Our boy Mo Khan will step up and in. We'll just keep our eye on the end of this game. All right, Oklahoma City actually misses a shot here, so we'll see what Edwards can do. He's got the ball. Just take it all the way, bro. He doesn't want it. McDaniels takes it and gets blocked by Holmgren. It's the thing with Edwards. Always the face of the league and stuff. He just had the ball. He didn't want the shot. You got to want the shot there. Five-point lead in Oklahoma City are going to the free throw line, guys. This is just slow death. I don't think we're going to get the three. The New York Yankees leading the Angels 4-1 right now. We got a 3-3 game, Miami and San Diego. Either you two guys bet the Marlins and San Diego game?
Nah, I had to pass on that one. That's one
I bet
game.
The over.
What do you got the over? What's your number?
Eight even, which is unusual. I need to get this game to extra innings. Extra innings, I got at least a shot to push, right? If they can each get the So get the extra innings here. I like my chances here. I didn't play the game itself, but I figured Weathers versus Vasquez, two bad pitchers, and Miami had been hitting over the weekend. I figured I can get to at least eight.
So far, you got a puncher's chance, like in-game total 7.5 right now. So we're at six, like you said. Get this in extra innings. Get a couple of runs home. You know what I mean? Something can happen with the ghost runner. All right, so Minnesota hits a three. All right, they're down by two with 23 Ooh. Seconds left. Oh, God.
come on, man.
All I have is like, 3-2, Cam. I don't have five. I don't have four.
I got a 7.5 live, but I bet originally 2, Cam. This is like a knife fight. Like, we're getting up. We're coming back. They stab us. But, oh, yeah, we're just trying.
SGA is going to the free throw line now. They're up by two. He's going to the free throw line with 14 seconds left.
He's got a miss, man. He's got a miss.
If he misses one of them, they could tie it with a three.
Yeah.
If he hits both of them and we score, maybe we could maybe cover here, but we need him to miss.
We're literally going to win this.
I doubt he misses.
We're going to
maybe he misses one
or lose by a point. Well, yeah, we need one miss definitely.
The first one wasn't even close to like not going in. Like it looks like he could hit this blindfolded. Like it was. Oh, he's going to hit this one. I think.
Yeah,
he's not fazed by any pressure here. So it looks like he's going to hit the second free throw here, and it's going to be a four-point game with 14 seconds left.
Hit a three.
I don't have Minnesota on the money line. Minnesota took a timeout. I don't have them on the money line. I'm just hoping to backdoor this plus three Right now, we did hit the over of the game. I really should have smashed this over more than I did, though.
If we can get a three game, and even if they go to the line, three's a push, right? If they hit both free throws, and we can find a way for this game to end. But we need to score in this possession. We're toast.
Yeah, it comes down to one shot, whether they make the shot or not. So Major League Baseball, we're cruising along. Like George said, we're basically we're nearly a third way through the season, I guess, basically here. The season's rolling along here right now. And checking in with the top money makers, the American League Central is where the money is being made so far right now. The Detroit Tigers are plus 767 on the season. The Cleveland Guardians are plus 477, despite losing tonight to the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Minnesota Twins, only up $40, but they've fought back. They're 29-24. They've battled back, and they're back in contention right now. The Kansas City Royals are up $231. The only team that hasn't made money for people, the Chicago White Sox. You're down $949 if you've bet on every White Sox game, and you deserve every cent that you've lost.
Yeah, even I don't bet on the White Sox. I got problems.
What do you think? What do you think of the Central, George? Pretty, it's a profitable division. Like I said, four to five teams have been making money for bettors.
I got to tell you, I had to sweat out the White Sox losing to the Mets today, right? The Mets didn't score until like the eighth inning.
Yeah, it was close, yeah.
So, yeah, that was a little bit annoying. That was a parlay for me, my second half of a parlay. So, listen, the White Sox are a bad team. We know that. I'm surprised that it's as positive as it is, because when you look at the overall records, I mean, hey, Cleveland and Minnesota, five games above 500. Kansas City is only three games above 500. And so that's right around where we thought they'd be, all these teams, right? We thought it would be competitive. I don't think we thought Detroit would be quite as good as they are, but hey, they did make the playoffs last year. They got Scooble here. What's impressive for me about the Tigers is that they're hitting better than really we thought they would. You got Riley Green. That's really about it. But this McKinstry's hitting. Torres, ex-Yankee, doing well there. Torkelson's figured it out here. Javi Baez, remember this guy? So he's figured out how to hit, too. I don't know if it can last all season, but they're actually kind of a fun team to watch, and they will spend money. I think they would make a big addition at the deadline should it be there for them.
Yeah, don't forget bringing Jack Flaherty back as well. So the American League East, Yankees are tough to make money on, obviously, right? They're big favorites all the time. Yankees are plus 107 on the season. So after all that stress, Kurt, you're up $107.
Yeah.
If you bet $100 a game.
If you bet $100 a game, yeah. $100, this is $100 units. Tampa Bay Rays, son of a bitches. These guys are just always the same. They're only up $146 on the season, but that's what they are. The Blue Jays, it's pretty typical. It's a typical Blue Jay season. They're minus 68.
Yep, like, exactly.
Classic Blue Jays.
Here's the Blue Jays. Hey, we sweep the Padres, and then they play the Rays. Ooh, they get
they'll lose four in a row, win four in a row, lose five in a row, win three in a row. That's just what they do. Yeah,
lead your asses off against San Diego, and then here come the Rays.
As soon as you think the Jays are good, exactly, they'll disappoint you. And as soon as you think, man, this team sucks, they'll rattle off six in a row.
I figured it out.
Nice win for DeGrom. That was a nice win for the Jays.
It was a very great, gritty win, George, but they do it in spurts. Gabe's right. Like they'll sweep, they'll get swept. They'll do, like, they need to go on a run like a good team, like 8-2-10, and win 2 out of 3. That's what they have to do, but they do it in chunks. And you know that. That's typical Blue Jays. These guys, they'll win three or four, and then they'll get swept. Like, they can't get it together. They got to be more consistent and go win series. 2 out of 3 is fine.
Man, these last few seconds are taking a long time here.
Yeah.
It's 125.
What are you down, 125?
125 to 123. Oklahoma City are hanging on. They got a 2-point lead. They have the ball, though. They just had a problem inbounding the ball. Caruso had to call a timeout. Minnesota was playing good defense. So they got to get the ball in bounds. We got to hope that they miss a free throw again here or they turn it over somehow. But it is 125 to 123. Right now. All right, we got our boy Mo Codd stepping up and in a couple of minutes here. So as far as the baseball, Baltimore are down a lot of money, $1,626 on the season. Wow. In fact, they've lost the most money in the league beside the Rockies. And how about this, guys? The Rockies, minus $2,755. You'd be up $2,755 if you bet against the Rockies every day. It really is like crazy. They're 9-45.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
All right, so this is getting stressful, and it's these odds makers are pretty good at their job. They made it a 3-point spread, although they made it 3 the other night, and they lost by 42. But Oklahoma City are up by 3 right now. Minnesota's done a nice job managing this game. Like this last, they've really extended it. Like the last 19, 20 seconds here, they're getting a lot out of it, and they're on the free throw line right now. So it looks like Oklahoma City don't want to let him take the 3. Naz Reid's got to hit these free throws. He hits the first one right now. We got a 2-point game getting 3 points here. So let's say he hits this shot. I don't know. We might be able to get a push out of this at plus 3. Maybe Oklahoma City miss another free throw. I kind of doubted it, but ideally, and there's too much time left, though. There's 7 seconds. Just from a betting perspective, if you got Minnesota plus 3 right now, the best-case scenario would be hit the free throw here and somehow Oklahoma City keep the ball away from them. And they don't get the foul, but in 7 seconds, they're obviously going to get the foul in. So here it is. They're down by 1 right now with 7 seconds left, and they foul quickly. Nice job by Oklahoma City getting the ball to SGA. Our boy Mo Khan steps up and in, and takes one for the team right now. Can't see the game. Joining us right now. What's going on, Mo?
I am well, Gabe. Quite the events in Montreal last night with the CEBL, but a lot going on with this NBA game. I thought Rudy Gobert did not play as well as he should have, and Julius Randle, his shot selection was not that great today. I thought OKC's bigs were a lot more dominant where Minnesota's bigs were not. So quite the fascinating game that we had with T-Wolves and OKC right now.
Yeah, we'll get into the Montreal game, which is super cool. The CEBL, they played a game outside yesterday, and it looked like the weather held up. I was beaten down after a long Saturday night yesterday. But, you know, it was nice, actually. We did bet on Alex Palou to win the Indianapolis 500, and we cashed that ticket. And I had a couple of drinks, too. And when I woke up and I saw my bet, I was like, man, you bet a lot more money than you should have on the Indy 500. You're like, man, anything can happen. Then I passed out, Cam. I passed out. I didn't see the race. I wake up, and I'm like, oh, he won.
Don't you love checking your account? And then the other night, I'm like, wow, there's like $690. Oh, yeah, Australian horse racing. I was wasted. Like, that's the whole thing. That is the best thing when you wake up and go, hey, man, there's like double the money in here.
The problem is with the West Coast, it's like 5 in the morning here, so I'm like, all right, yeah. You know, I was partying all night. I'm like, oh, I got to shut it down. It's like 5 a.m. Yeah. Yeah, it's already 8 a.m. Like, the race was starting in a few hours, right? So I was like, I got to get to bed, right? So, like, because I'm like, I'm not going to wake up again. So it's like, all right, I'm going to get to bed in here. I lost. So I took, I had Verstappen to be top 3 in Monaco. He finished in 4th. Yes. Norris wins.
Yeah.
Picture-perfect day at Monte Carlo yesterday, though. Like, just a beautiful day.
Well, like Monaco is probably the supreme event. It's the Super Bowl for the F1, right, when it comes to the pageantry and the background setting that we have. But, look, Montreal's not far away. I think we're now 3 weeks away from Montreal. And I think for the city of Montreal, they got to be on their best behavior in terms of providing the proper amenities and ambiance, because last year was a complete disaster outside the F1 race for those fans who came out to the city that, A, did not have great weather, and, B, just trying to get around the city was pretty much brutal for all those visitors in town for the F1.
You guys bet F1, Gabe. He's only won two races, Verstappen, right? Like, Norris has got two. He's got two. Like, he's not dominating the way he did before.
No, he's not.
Piastri's got three. No, four. He's won four.
McLaren have taken over. Piastri and Norris are on the same team, Cam. So now they're the dominant team now.
Amazing.
I called it for people to follow NASCAR, for people to follow Formula One, when Newey left. He's a behind-the-scenes guy, but he was basically like the smart computer garage guy, like the modern smart guy. Like, he put the car together, basically, right, for Red Bull. And he got tired of all the drama with Christian Horner and just the behind-the-scenes stuff, and he left. And I knew when he left, I was like, they're in trouble. Like, he's actually the brain trust behind this. You know of F1, Mo, like, you can be a great driver, but it's only as good as your car, bro, right? And Red Bull's car isn't as good anymore, point blank. I don't want to take it away from Verstappen, but his car is not as good anymore. Any other cars are getting better.
Yeah, they've been showing some cracks, right, guys, the last 18 months or so. And people, as you said, Gabe, were predicting that Red Bull will not be...
Since Horner started hitting on the coworkers, that's when we started showing cracks. I'm just being real, Cam. Like,
what's happening here? We're down two, Gabe. We're getting the ball. The Oklahoma City threw it out of
I know. They might have turned it over. I'm just trying to be wishful thinking.
Okay,
they might have turned it over.
Imagine
there's only 0.3 left, actually, right now. This is crazy.
You can't get a shot to 0.3.
All right. So... You know what? We should cover this. I think we might squeeze out the cover here.
Yes.
Yeah, look at this. It's exactly, we have the ball with 0.3 down two.
Yes. Hey, win or end it. God. No, just two. Let's go.
I don't know. As long as Gobert doesn't like push someone before.
Exactly.
Or like, all right, like, you know what I mean? Come on, guy. I don't know if you can get a shot off with 0.3. They throw it up to the basket.
No,
they
don't think so.
No foul called either. They could have. It was a toss up. We win. We cover. We cover
the best. We win. Yay.
128-126. Minnesota covered a point spread.
Woo.
That's what great. Night. I was mad at myself all night. I wasn't on Oklahoma City. I'm like, this is bothering me.
This is amazing.
Right, that's good. I had the over. I had the in-game over, and I had Minnesota. Makes up for my Florida Panther loss.
Oh, wow.
That was a great night. Actually, that was a fun game with Carolina too. Beautiful.
Unlike the hockey game, Mo, I was saying earlier that Florida and Carolina are boring to watch, huh?
It wasn't fun. This has not been a great series of appeal. I mean, geography wise, they're what, an hour flight from each other in Raleigh to Sunrise, but it's been tough in the eyes. I mean, I was flipping back and forth with the T-Wolves game and the Panther game, but quite frankly, when you look at the appeal of both series right now. Though these two series don't have the same appeal as, say, the Knicks and Pacers do, along with the Stars and Oilers going on right now.
No, that's true, and I knew that coming in. I was like, yeah, the Knick-Pacer-Oilers-Star nights will be funner. Although this series has been fun. This Oklahoma City series has been fun, and they're going to the finals. They're up 3-1 right now. They're not going to lose 3 straight. And these guys don't rarely lose at home. So this series is done. Minnesota got their win on Friday. Or Saturday, whatever the hell it was, Saturday. This thing's done. Oklahoma City doing a little post-game presser where they're all there with their towels.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fun basketball game tonight. I'm Gabriel Moretti. Quickest 120 minutes in sports talk and television continues. Minnesota Timberwolves. They battled, but give credit to Oklahoma City. Every time Oklahoma City, needed to hit a shot, they did. They survive. If you're Oklahoma City, you did your job. You got a split on the road. They rarely lose at home. I'm not going to say never, but it's tough to beat them at home. That's the thing with Oklahoma City. They're going to win their home games, and they split on the road. Right, they did this with Denver, right? All right, we'll get wasted once, we'll get smashed, and, we'll get killed, and we'll win the other game, and we'll win at home. And now, I would assume that they're probably going to finish them off, actually, now in the next game It's Wednesday night. The Oklahoma City Thunder guys open up as 8.5-point favorites over the T-Wolves. Total 220.5, Mo. What's your prediction? We see Oklahoma City, when they win at home, they generally win big, too. So
yeah,
I would expect that we're going to have a rout on Wednesday, and it's all over but the crying for Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree. I picked T-Wolves to win 6. That's off. It's not going to happen now. But I think that OKC will win rather easily.
Why are you a hater? Luke Dort's from Montreal. Come on, Mo.
I know. Look, I want to see Indiana, OKC, because you got Ben Mathurin and Lou right from the same area of Montreal. That could happen. It could very well happen, right?
But yeah, one way the Larry O'B trophy will be coming up to Montreal one way or another this summer.
Might be hanging out. Exactly. Right. But I think for Minnesota guys, watching this game tonight, I felt like they need to get a second alpha in there besides Ant-Man, right? Because Anthony Edwards does so much for this team, but who's the second option for them? Julius Randle did okay tonight. Well, but the thing is, like, he was awful tonight. But that's the thing, right? You look at these teams here, more or less. I mean, I know you see less and less superstar power, but they need to get that complement piece that's going to play well off of Ant-Man. And they have not found that yet so far. They thought Rudy Gobert would be that dude. He has been the case. Julius Randle is more of a third option than a second option, too erratic in my mind here. And he cannot waste these prime or soon-to-be prime years for Anthony Edwards if you don't get proper pieces around him. They get the bench play, but need to get more of an effect player that can really make things different or make things easier for Ant-Man moving forward.
I just completely disagree. Walker at 23 points tonight. Dante had 21 points tonight. McDaniels had 23 points tonight. Like, Gobert had 13 points and 9 rebounds. Like, it was Anthony Edwards' fault they lost, Mo. I'm not going to make excuses for him. I'm going to blame him for losing. Everybody else stepped up. He didn't. Randle didn't have a great game. Randle was terrible tonight. But Randle's been pretty good in the playoffs. But to me, Edwards, and this isn't the first time in this series, Mo, where he's been the one that disappeared. He took 2 shots, Mo, in the first half.
But that's because OKC, it was trailed by ESPN ABC. Every time you got over midcourt, they trapped them, right? Double team, triple team.
Yeah, but so what? That's your best. So what? Like, SGA gets trapped. He put up 40 points.
Yeah, but SGA, right? The thing with SGA, though, is that he's not getting triple teamed here. Like, Ant-Man gets triple teamed. He is literally bottled up by defenders. I'm not saying Ant-Man's better than SGA, but at this point right now here, yes, everyone else benefited tonight, Gabe. But the reality is, are you going to rely on these guys every single night if Ant-Man doesn't have an effort or A-plus effort that he didn't do tonight? No, because, you know, guys like Mikhail Alexander here, he's good, but he's not going to score you 20 points every single night. And you need to find that complement piece that's going to play off of Ant-Man that can say we're a 1-2 punch that can really take over games if need be.
I think, listen, he had 18 points in the first game. So, you know, 5 for 13 tonight, 5 for 13 in the first game. So he's had 2 good games and 2 bad games. Right? He dropped 30. We'll give him credit for that one. You know, and I remember because I bet on his prop, actually. In the first game, was the same thing. In the first half, he had like 4 points or something, right? You know, he's not stepping up in these big-time moments. There was a portion tonight in a game. There was like 2 times they went down the court. Once he turned the ball over, there was another time he didn't even want the shot. He gave it up after. I like him as a player. I think he's a great player. But this whole always the young, he's the face of the NBA, the new face and all this type stuff. I think it's overblown. Just because the media tells us this, I don't buy in. But this series is done. And the thing with Oklahoma City is, too, you look at their box score, and they don't really get much from anybody. They did tonight. Like, Holmgren gave them 21 tonight. Williams was on fire early. He ended up with 34. But if you look at them, Hartenstein had 2 points. Lou Dort had 4 points. Lou Dort had 6 points in the last game. There were a lot of guys with like 0 points. Like, they played for them. Alex Caruso gave them 10. It's actually, I don't know how the hell they got to 128. Look, I'm like, how do you guys get to 128 points?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, 128-126. What a wild basketball game, especially for bettors tonight. One of those deals that was like, all right, if you had Oklahoma City on the money line, good for you. It's tough. You know, it's three. It's right in that middle, you know, minus 155 or whatever it was. And with the T-Wolves, it was plus 125 on the money line. I knew they were going to win game three. I was not sure tonight. And as we saw for bettors, it really just really was a coin toss at the end of this game with the point spread. 128-126, final score. As I said, if you're just joining us right now, I'm Gabriel Morency, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Oklahoma City Thunder open as 8.5-point favorites. They're up 3-1 in the series right now. The total is 220.5. And ironically enough, the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers total is 220.5 as well. Knicks are +2-point underdogs after coming back from 20 points down. Mo, who do you like tomorrow between the Knicks and the Pacers?
Pacers, I just thought they had that fart, brain fart yesterday, right? They just were up 20, and then they allowed the Knicks to have those shots, those quality shots that they found. And Thibodeau said, he goes, look, you know, this game has changed, right? It's about quality three-point making here. And the Knicks were able to get back to the game because of that and spread out the Pacers. And I think now for Indiana, look, guys, from top to bottom right now, they have better depth. They're much fresher now. And I think for Thibodeau, and if he doesn't rotate his guys, he's going to drive them to the ground like he did last year against the Pacers, where they were down to like four guys that were healthy enough to play that in that second-round loss, right? So I think right now, I think Indiana goes back to MSG up 3-1, but it'll come down to how Indiana defends the three-point line tomorrow night in Indianapolis.
It is amazing how big of favorites Oklahoma City are right now to win the championship. Minus 425.
Wow.
Oklahoma City Thunder are minus 425 favorites. The sportsbooks see them as unbeatable. The Pacers, plus 550. The Knicks, plus 1050. The T-Wolves are done. All right, so the T-Wolves are done at 350-1. So they're in a lot of trouble. But the Pacers and Knicks series, not done yet, guys, but I do agree with you, Mo, that the Pacers' depth should wear the Knicks out as the series goes on. We kind of knew, listen, you knew the Knicks were going to be desperate. They were getting killed, but they ended up getting the win anyways. But I think now you get a more focused Pacer team. I talked about it last week. I kind of called it, and I said, I won't be surprised if the Pacers go back home and get a little bit overconfident now that they're up 2-0. We've seen this before from them on their home court. And I would expect them to bounce back tomorrow as well. I'm going to be on the Pacers tomorrow. Cam, who are you taking, the Knicks or the Pacers tomorrow?
I'm on the Pacers. I agree with everything that Mo said. You know what? They look like they had it first quarter, first half, and then all of a sudden collapsing. You can't do that again. They understand what they need to do at home. They'll take a big lead and finish the job. I like Indiana early in the first half, first quarter game. I think the Pacers are going to take it from start to finish tomorrow. Give me Indiana.
Mo, I thought that the Thunder have been overpriced all along. I think they're the best team in the NBA. You can't dispute it.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow, you don't normally see teams. Like the Boston Celtics over the last couple of years weren't even this big of favorites. Like seriously, like the Boston Celtics were like minus 200 type of thing. But it's pretty crazy that they're minus 425. You don't see this, right? Like, they're overwhelming favorites. Yet if you look at the two teams they're playing, you could argue they would beat both of them, right? I mean, as good as the Pacers are, thing with Oklahoma City, they will have home court. And in an era in sports right now where home court, home field, home ice doesn't mean as much as it used to, it does for the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's a super hard building to win in. They have right. A college-like atmosphere there. It's like it's just a different type of environment. They really feed off of it. You know, when they win by like an average of 26 points type of deal when they play at home. Right, so are you part of this right now? Do you think the Oklahoma City Thunder are unstoppable, or do you think the Pacers or Knicks could beat them?
I think the Pacers will give them issues. I don't think the Knicks can keep up with OKC. And I think right now, for what Indiana presents, from a depth perspective, they can match up, right? Size-wise, they can match up. But the reality is right now is that you look at Lou Dort, you were mentioning about Anthony Edwards not doing well. Lou did a really good job babysitting Anthony Edwards.
That is a good point. Exactly. Right? Great call there. Like, Lou Dort is one of the best defensive players in the league.
Exactly. Right. So if Lou's going to lock up Tyrese Haliburton or whoever they're going to say, you know, lock him up and don't let him do anything, then who's going to be that second option scoring, right? Neesmith had a phenomenal MSG run in games 1 and 2 here, but can he be consistent enough to be that guy?
He got hurt, too.
Yeah, right. So I just think now for Indiana to get through, what it'll come down to is what Rick Carlisle does from an X's and O's perspective against Dagnall, right? These are two great coaches when it comes to schemes here. And Carlisle has outfoxed Tom Thibodeau in the first two games up until game three last night. So I think for Rick Carlisle, can he come up with the proper schemes that if they do play OKC, that can steal a game in OKC and go back to Indianapolis with a chance to maybe take one or two at that point, though. So I think it would be quite fascinating to see this plays out from the supporting cast of both teams going at it if they do meet up in the NBA Finals.
I would take the Pacers plus 2.5 games. I think the Pacers could win two games. Maybe they could take the Thunder 7, but I think probably they would end up losing in 6. I think Oakland, looks like Oklahoma City are finally going to win their first ever championship, guys. They've knocked on the door before. They've always, you know, Presti's done an awesome job, but it's been one of these deals where, like, they've never won, despite, like, winning every trade all the time and stockpiling this and stockpiling that. It's finally coming together for them right now, Mo. You know what I mean? Like, this was the plan. You know, all these twin – that's the whole thing, too. Like, with Lou Dort, I said, you know, he scored 4 points. And he only scored 6 points in the last game, but they're so good, they can absorb it. So, like, he's such a defensive specialist. It's like, all right, we're not getting much from him offensively, but he's really going to be a pain in the ass for the other player's superstar, like the other team's superstar, right? And,
yeah,
you know, that is a good point. Like, Edwards really does. He's getting double and triple team. Lou Dort is seriously all over him. Lou Dort is, like, really on you when he's on you. There was a couple of sequences tonight where Edwards was really getting frustrated. It's hard not to see Oklahoma City winning the championship, guys.
No question. And the way that Lou's built, guys, right? If you're looking at Lou Dort, he is a machine. He is a tank physically. There's not an ounce of fat on this Adonis right now. And when you look at his history, guys, remember, he wasn't drafted by OKC. He was signed as an undrafted free agent by OKC and earned his stripes to get to the big club through the minor league team of theirs down in the G League. So I think this is a guy who plays with a chip on his shoulder and is trying to prove a point to the national audience that, hey, I am one of the premier, if not top, defenders in this league here. And if we do meet up with Tyrese Haliburton or whoever we face in Indiana, I'm going to lock him down and give him nothing more than 5 points per game type of mentality.
Yeah, hell of a run for an undrafted kid from Montreal. NBA All-Defensive Team, second team All Pac-12, Pac-12 Freshman of the Year, two-time BioSteel All-Canadian Game MVP. Who should we be keeping our eye on, Mo? Speaking of which, Canada just keeps producing these great basketball players with the BioSteel, and it goes to show if you kick ass in the BioSteel game, you got a pretty good future ahead of you. He's a two-time MVP of that game.
Yeah, you know, the BioSteel has been producing some key guys of late here, right? I think that right now Canada hit a golden peak a couple years ago. Might be a bit of a lull for the next year or two, but I think in 2027 and beyond is when we'll see some guys coming up through the ranks right now. I know people are really fascinated by Olivier Rioux, the 7'9 forward center for Florida, but he's far, far away from being anywhere near, what it was for the Purdue kid that went to Memphis. I forget his name right now. It's on the tip of my tongue right now.
Zach Edey.
Thank you very much.
Zach Edey, that's right. No, Zach Edey's a lot thicker and better. Yeah, better footwork, etc.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just think right now Canada's not at that point of, hey, we're going to produce first-round picks the next couple of drafts here. It's 2027 and beyond. That's where it's going to be key for this program to get more guys to the pipeline.
Hey, Ryu's living a good life, though. He went to Florida. He didn't play, but he won the championship. And I'm sure people saw it was a funny picture of him with Trump the other day. Florida, the Gators went to the White House and Ryu, he's like nearly 8 feet tall next to Trump. It was too good. It was Trump wanted the picture with the kid. He's like, damn, look at you, huh?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right, Sports Reds continues. It's come to our attention that the modern soy boys online don't like that you're able to foul They think the other team should be allowed. Yeah, they think you should be allowed to be able to shoot the three. Oh, it's not fun when the other team fouls. I mean, nah, this is whatever. Dude. Like, life's not fun. It is what it is. Deal with it. Like, I mean, like you put yourself in that position. Yeah, so.
Soy boy.
They're never happy about anything, these people. Like, I mean, that's why everything always. Let's make it easier to hit the ball. Let's make it this. Let's make it that. Like, it's never let's make it harder. It's always let's make it easier. But one rule, Mo, and you know the CFL well.
Yeah.
So the tush push stays, right? I think the tush push should stay. Like, it's a football play, whatever. It's there's nothing illegal about it. So they should be allowed to do it. But the play that only the Alouettes do in the CFL, where they punt the ball an inch and fall on it.
Yeah.
Like, I know that the other teams, like, and our boy Greg Frank likes rule sports, and you should see in the CFL. So in the CFL, you can punt the ball when you want. Like, so, like, you could free kick it. So basically, the Montreal Alouettes figured it out there, like, if they're in, like, a second and long situation or something.
Yeah.
They'll pitch it off to, like, the running back, and he'll literally kick the ball like half a yard. Like, he'll just sort of drop it and kick it and fall on it. It'll be a first down. And, like, when they do it, other teams are like, think it's their ball. They all celebrate it first and stuff. And then they find out. It's like, no, it's a free ball. Like, he just punted the ball. I know, Mo, that other teams, like, flipped out about this and said, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. No one's ever done this in 50 years besides the Alouettes. We got to stop this. And I like the fact that the league told them, no. We don't change the rules. It's in the rule book. Learn to do it and learn to stop it. It's up to you. I love that the Alouettes bust that out a couple of times a year.
They do. And they always are successful. It's like, it's amazing. It's very cool.
Boss saves it for pretty good. You know, he'll save it for big spots. Like, he'll sort of know, all right, you know, now's a good time to do it. They don't overdo it all the time, but I would take advantage of the rules, but it's a stupid rule. Let's just call it out for what it is. In modern football, they don't do it often, but it is pretty crazy. So the CFL, next week, guys, we'll get into the CFL more. We'll go over all the win totals and stuff. But now we've seen some preseason football. That was a disappointing effort from the Alouettes. They got their ass handed to them by the Ottawa Redblacks on Saturday, Mo.
Yeah, you know, look, I think for Davis Alexander being the quarterback now, it's going to take some time, right? There's a book on that, what he does well, what he doesn't do well. I thought you saw a bit of sample from what Ottawa did from their defense, much more improved than where they were last year, the Red Blacks. I'm trying to really make things difficult for him. I think the biggest underlying story for the Alouettes going into the season will be their O-line, right? Because they had a bit of transition with Christian Matt retiring, and now the BC running backs coach as we speak. You know, who's going to replace that hole of veteran leadership? And I think that's going to be key, is how well does that Alouette O-line play to allow Alexander to buy him time to get himself comfortable enough to be the alpha quarterback for this Alouette team here. So I think for Montreal, they'll be a solid team, no question about it. But that East Division, guys, I think the win total might be 11, might be enough to win that division, because I think all four teams have a case to win this division this season.
You know, you look at the Ottawa Redblacks, and last year they were sleepers, and I really liked them coming into the year. I bet their win total to the over, and they're not sleepers anymore. And as you stated, Mo, they've improved their defense. Their offense was already very good. They seem to really like their coach, and they just sort of have a good – they seem to have a very good team chemistry, this team. And they also seem to be pretty hungry this year as well. Like, they're not just, like, happy to be there. Like, Ottawa are trying to, like, knock the Argos off the top here and Montreal off the top here. But the odds makers see it. Their win total is 10.5. Last year was like 6.5, 7 or whatever. Like, this year, 10.5. The Montreal Alouette win total, 10.5. And the Toronto Argonaut win total, 11.5. I don't think the Argos are going to win 12 games, guys. The Argos aren't a great regular season team, right? They sort of, they get hot in the playoffs and they win the Grey Cup, but they never really have dominant regular season.
That's an excellent point. Let's remember, 2 years ago, Ottawa, They got a great coaching staff. They got a hungry team. They're getting better. Their defense had key injuries. Hamilton Tiger Cats started 5 rookies from the States in their secondary, so they're going to be better. Like the Argos are the same bloody team. And what, you got 12 wins? I don't think so. And Montreal can play too. I think that's one of the best bets right now. I don't think the Argos are going to win 12 games.
But I'll give you one quick point, guys, for Ottawa, though, right? Ottawa last year against playoff teams were like 2-8-1. Mm-hmm. Against non-playoff teams were like 10-2 and whatever it was, right? So they have not played well against teams who were above them in terms of the win-loss record from last year going into the season. So that's going to be the key question here. Can they beat the big hitters and be in that established conversation of Winnipeg and maybe the Al West as being the favorites to win the Grey Cup this year?
One thing with Ottawa last year too, Mo, they were the benefactors early in the season of a sort of a lucky schedule. It was just sort of like every team they played always had a backup quarterback or something happened. Like, right. They had a lot of sort of everything was going their way, and then they hit a wall. You're right. They had a hard time beating good teams. They have a hard time. They've had a hard time with Montreal, right, over the years. Toronto, yeah. Obviously. They matched up okay with Toronto, actually. Montreal has been their problem, where it's like certain death, right? Like, I don't think they've won in Montreal. Yeah, like, they haven't won in Montreal in that stadium in forever. Like, it's like, oh, God, we're screwed, right? It's like one of those things all the time. But they're at 10.5. It's a little high for me. I know Ottawa are going to be good, but I think it's kind of an accurate number because I agree with you, Bo. I think they're going to beat the crap out of each other in this division. Although I will say I don't really believe in Hamilton all that much. Like, I got a problem with Bo Levi Mitchell. Like, you know, I don't think, he could put stats up, but you know they're not. I'm not in love with this team. I think they'll be the worst team in the division again.
Well, the thing is, they were deplorable, but they also had a lot of kids there, and it's hard to learn the CFL game. You guys know, like it takes a while to get acclimated. I remember I was at that BC game where they absolutely shredded these guys, but a year under their belt, Gabe, and that's the thing. Bolivar Mitchell is a problem due to his age, but I think their defense is going to be a little bit better this year, the Ticats.
Their win total is 8.5. And you know what? I bring this up now, guys, because I noticed the Calgary Stampeders win total was 6.5. It was -130. Somebody noticed something. Somebody bet it. And now it's -150. And I will say, the most impressive team so far through 2 weeks of the CFL preseason, Calgary's the only team that's played 2 games, and they look good.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Ridge. I'm Renzi. All right, so we'll do the CFL win totals next week. But as I was saying, this Calgary team, you know, they used to be the model franchise of the CFL. Like, they didn't win a Grey Cup every year, but they were freaking in it most of the time. And they sold tickets, they were well run. They've been a disaster over the last couple of years. Like, they have a hard time selling tickets now. People are frustrated with Dickinson. He's a legend there, but that only goes so far. Like, they're not quite Edmonton, where they got to rebuild from nothing the brand. But they're getting there. Like, people have sort of lost confidence in this team there. And they're a fickle fan base. There's nothing to do there, so the people should go. But nevertheless, but their win total is 6.5. I really like their quarterback room. You bring in Vernon Adams. You bring in P.J. Walker. You need 2 quarterbacks in the modern CFL. I like their running backs. I like their wide receivers. I like the energy. I've watched both their preseason games. You just tell that this football team cares, that there's a different edge to them this year. And bettors are noticing because it's 6.5 right now, but it just moved 20 cents up to -150. So let's pull the trigger on this. If you're betting that before it gets to 7.5. Who's your team, Mo, that you would say is going to be the best team in the league this year? BC win total is 9.5 in the West. Saskatchewan is 10.5. Winnipeg is 10.5. I can see the Bombers taking a step back. Calgary, 6.5. I think they're going to be better. And then you got the Edmonton Elks at 8.5, Mo, with a new coach and sort of a new look.
Yeah, I think the Bombers will take a step back. I think that age will catch up to them, and they have to retool, right? You lose Kay Lala to Hamilton and a few other guys elsewhere. Sass is the wild card, because if Trevor Harris stays healthy, they can go far, that team, right? They built it up here, right? They got a great returner now, this young kid who they're really high on that can steal Mario Alford's job as a returner. They got a really good core of Canadian receivers to work with. Their defense is pretty stingy as well. I think Sask might be the wild card. I think Calgary will be competitive, guys. That's 6.5. I think it might be around that number because for Vernon Adams Jr., is he a guy that can win you that many games? He's very up and down, guys. I don't really trust him as a quarterback. So I think right now Sask might be the team to watch out for in that West. And BC, it's a question of how quickly do they buy into the new regime. And if they buy in quick enough here, they could definitely be in that conversation going towards late November.
One thing with BC, they've gone super old school, this team. Right, like with the coaching staff, it's basically like a who's who of CFL coaches over the years. I'm surprised Paul LaPolice isn't on the staff. Benavides is the defensive coordinator along with Ryan Phillips. Yeah. They kept Phillips, but Benavides is back in there. Buck Pierce is in. Like all the coaches are all like, oh yeah, this guy. Oh yeah, this guy's been around forever. Like so, it's just sort of they went old school CFL. We'll see if it works. They could kind of be set in their ways, or I think it will, though. I think Nate Rourke's ready for a big bounce back, actually. All right, so we only got a couple of minutes left here. And, Mo, I know you're a Liverpool fan, actually, and we had a tragedy earlier in the day today. I got to tell you, this is the big thing, right? It happened in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. It happened Kansas City. Vancouver here a couple of weeks ago. 11 people got killed at a Filipino street festival. A car crashed into the crowd. And then today in Liverpool, celebrating the EPL championship, a car plows into the crowd. They arrested a man, 53-year-old local from Liverpool. We don't know the full damages of the injuries yet. But from what I understand, nobody's passed away yet. But a lot of people are in the hospital right now.
Yeah, 27 was what was reported that are in the hospital right now being looked at. It was an awful moment. It was caught on video by different people, and I would not recommend anyone to watch. It's awful to see because I think there was over a million plus in the parade, and Liverpool is a city of about 500,000, 600,000 max, right? So this was a day that they've been waiting for, guys, 35 years. They won it in 2020 during COVID protocol, so there wasn't a proper parade. It actually didn't have a parade at all. So this is the first true parade for an English title in many, many years, and it definitely was a solemn moment for many people who are Liverpool fans and worldwide soccer fans to see this happen today down in Liverpool.
Very sad news. We wish all the victims the best. And in strange news that we didn't get to, Olympic legend Mary Lou Retton arrested on drunk driving charges in West Virginia.
Wow.
Didn't see that one coming. Well, Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou Retton. What?
She was not high on my to get arrested on Memorial Day bingo card list. I got to tell you,
unbelievable.
Mary Lou getting into the drinks.
It happens.
We'll see you on a Twisted Tuesday. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.